Welcome to this breaking news edition of the MMA After Hour. I am Ariel Helwani. It is Thursday afternoon, and we haven't done one of these in quite some time, and I think today certainly warrants that. I'm being joined by MMAfighting.com's own Mike Chiappetta, joining us for his first MMA After Hour. And Mike, just moments ago, the UFC held a conference call hosted by UFC President Dana White, and he announced that UFC 151 has been canceled after Dan Henderson partially tore his MCL. John Jones was offered a fight against Chael Sonnen on 8 days' notice. Chael Sonnen agreed to the fight. John Jones did not. Dana White was very upset, had a lot to say about John Jones, Chael Sonnen, Greg Jackson, and a whole lot of other things, but we want to get your take on the situation. First things first, are you as shocked as the MMA community at this turn of events that John Jones turned down a fight against Chael Sonnen when Chael Sonnen, who wasn't preparing for a fight, said yes?
Well, first of all, I have to say I'm a little disheartened that it took the darkest of days in MMA for me to finally get an invite on After Hours, but better late than never. Unlike John Jones, I wasn't going to say no. But I was a little bit surprised. I think if John Jones had a choice of fighters, I could understand him saying no to Chael Sonnen because, you know, he's not really deserving of, say, the number one contendership status in the light heavyweight division. He hasn't fought as a light heavyweight in something like 7 years. And obviously this is his first time in moving up to 205, lost his last fight too. It's not even like he's coming off a victory or a couple of wins in a row. So I can understand if Chael Sonnen was not his first choice, if they gave him a list of guys who said yes, and he was just one of them. But being that it was his only option to fight on September the 1st, I am a little bit surprised. You know, John has talked about being a businessman and wanting to provide for his family, and I think that a fight against Chael Sonnen would be a much bigger payday for him than a rematch against Lyoto Machida less than a year after they fought. He said not less than, you know, 4 or 5 days ago that Lyoto Machida was his lowest-selling pay-per-view of last year and that he wasn't interested in fighting him again. And now here we are, and this is the conclusion that he came to. He'd rather fight Lyoto than fight Chael. You know, he did also say that he didn't want to fight Chael. He wasn't going to let Chael talk his way into a fight against him. And so I guess he must have had some kind of interior battle going on of his head where it's like, what's the lesser of two evils here? I don't really want to do either of these. I said I wasn't going to let Chael talk his way into a fight against me. I said I don't want to fight Lyoto. Apparently I have to do one of them, and he chose Lyoto. I think it was a mistake because obviously he's had his full camp. He's ready to fight. And if he was going to fight either way, at least save the event. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not saying he needed to do the UFC a favor. Dana White's fond of saying that MMA is not a team sport. And if that's true, he doesn't really owe them anything. He doesn't owe the other fighters on the card anything, as harsh as that sounds. But he could have done them a favor. He could have been a hero in this instance, and he chose not to be. So as a result of that, he's got to face whatever backlash comes his way.
Are you surprised that Dana was so open in his feelings about John Jones? John Jones is, in many ways, the face of the UFC, the new, you know, Nike guy, the light heavyweight champion. He's got a bright future ahead of him. Everyone expects him to be in the UFC for many years to come, and no one really saw this coming, and it appeared as though Dana and John had a good relationship. That being said, one may say that it's not in the UFC's best interest, despite how bad this whole thing turned out to be, to throw a guy like John under the bus. Today, they were very honest and said he refused to take the fight, and Dana had some very harsh words to say about John Jones. Does that surprise you?
Not at all. You know, if you look at Dana White's history, he's a guy that he tends to be emotional about these things. I mean, this company is really his life. You know, obviously he devotes, you know, sometimes 24 hours a day to running the UFC. I mean, it is literally part of who he is. So he takes all of this very personally. And we've seen in the past, he's never hesitated to throw people under the bus, so to speak, when they haven't been, you know, in his opinion, team players. He always says that he considers the fighters his partners. I don't know if the fighters always feel that way, but that's the way that he feels. And when they don't step up to the plate when he asks, I think he does take it very personally. And we've seen in the past, you know, he's had issues with other major fighters. You know, Tito Ortiz obviously comes to mind. Anderson Silva, who's popular and beloved, and you know, he even says he's the greatest pound for pound of all time. But when Anderson had a couple of bizarre performances, Dana was the first one to say, you know, he'd cut him if need be, and to basically be his biggest critic. So this isn't too surprising. I completely understand what you're saying. I mean, John Jones is, you know, in some ways he's kind of the future face of the UFC, if not already the face of the UFC, and that doesn't bode well for him. But at the same time, I think we all know there's always been sort of an undercurrent of, I don't want to say hate against John Jones, but there's definitely a very vocal part of the audience that does not like him, don't think he's genuine, all these things. And now that he's made this decision, it's almost like I'm sure it's just going to be ramped up even further. And maybe, you know, Dana senses that. And they know that being a villain isn't necessarily bad for building an event in the future. You know, if I'm not saying they're going to sell John Jones in such a way. I don't know, you know.
Right.
That really depends on how the fans react to this. But, you know, if it is a possibility, you know, I could see Dana kind of throwing fuel on the fire.
You know, I'm wondering, you know, you talk about that hate, and this has not been a very good, you know, weak stretch for John Jones, because he had that interview with ESPN.com where he said he was not all that interested in fighting Lyoto Machida. He thought the first fight didn't draw well. He didn't think a lot of people were interested in it. He called it a lose-lose situation. He was mostly talking about it from a business standpoint. Now this comes out, and he got a lot of hate for that. He got a lot of heat for that over the weekend. I mean, how do you think the MMA community, the MMA fan, the hardworking fan, and you see the way the fighters are responding to this on Twitter, how do you think they're going to view him, how long do you think it will take for John Jones to repair his image now?
Well, he's definitely going to have to do some damage control, and it's going to take a while. You know, it's going to take a while. Listen, the guy's been an incredible fighter in the cage, and that's really the best image repair that he could do, is to go into the cage and continue to beat people up and finish fights and be exciting and be worth their $55. Because at the end of the day, I think fans can always kind of put aside the personal stuff as long as they have respect for the way that you go in there and fight. So, you know, is this his shining hour? No. This has been a pretty bad week for him as far as public relations goes. But, you know, it's only the PR side of things. It's not the end of the world. And he's going to be able, you know, he needs to basically state his own opinions on why he did this, you know, as soon as possible, to let people sort of speculate on it. I mean, obviously Dana White came out and said that this was partly Greg Jackson's doing. Greg Jackson didn't want him to take this fight, that it would be the biggest mistake of his life, and he's sort of putting a lot of the blame on Greg, although he had put plenty of blame on John as well. But John needs to come out and say why he did this. And, you know, is he going to do it now? Is he going to wait till fight week in Toronto in a few weeks from now? I think the longer he lets it stew, the worse that might be for him.
Yeah.
Because you have a lot of people just aimlessly speculating. And it's not that he's necessarily going to make it better by talking about his decision, but at least he'll sort of address it, and then we can start to move on.
Yeah, and how bizarre is it that he's actually going to fight Machida after saying what he said last week? And not only that, he's fighting him in the same city, Toronto, that he fought him at UFC 140, and he pointed to the city that he fought Machida in for the low pay-per-view numbers. He said, you know, that actually Machida's manager, Ed Soares, told me that international pay-per-views do less than domestic pay-per-views, and now here they are fighting in Canada again. Such a bizarre situation, such a bizarre turn of events. On the flip side, you have Chael Sonnen, who comes out looking like $1 trillion. I mean, the guy actually offered to fight him. He you know, he obviously said Dana White said that he'd fight him that night. No problem. He's coming off a loss to Anderson Silva a little over a month ago. I mean, if Chael Sonnen's stock was at its all-time lowest after the TRT stuff, the money laundering stuff, he is now, I mean, this is almost like legendary status as far as the fans view him. Are you getting that sense, too? People online are just giving him all sorts of praise.
It's like we're in an alternate reality here where Chael Sonnen has turned into the absolute hero of the day, and John Jones is cannot be more hated. I mean, I'm, you know, as we're sitting here talking this, I'm about to soon publish a column I wrote where I sort of compare this to LeBron James' ill-fated decision, and I kind of feel like it's a very similar situation where obviously he didn't do it in a public way and like LeBron did, but I just feel like it's a decision where a lot of the stuff around the actual decision is what made it even worse because of the stuff, like we said, about what he had to say about Liotto and what he had to say about making money and all these things. And even, you know, if you just a couple of days ago, we had the media conference call for UFC 151, and he talked about, you know, his warrior spirit. And again, it's just kind of all these things that kind of coming back to bite him. And I'm not saying he doesn't have warrior spirit. I mean, the guy has, you know, been spectacular in the cage. He fought Shogun on short notice. I'm not going to question his heart whatsoever. I don't think that has anything to do with this. But the fact that he brought it up, you know, you do have to kind of go, well, it's just bad timing. You know, it's just bad timing. But yes, Chael, you know, we've known for a fact that this is a guy that he comes to fight, and he's willing to fight anybody. He said it over and over, and, you know, he's backed it up again by trying to come to the rescue today. He definitely is the he gets the shiny gold star for today.
Are you?
Unfortunately, it doesn't come to anything, but, you know,
yeah,
you got to give him credit for that, yes.
Are you able to put yourself in John Jones's shoes right now and understand why Greg Jackson said it would be a big mistake for him to take this fight on 8 days' notice? And Greg has now come out, and obviously we only really got one side of the story during that conference call. Greg has come out and said that, you know, they would fight Chael Sonnen on September 22nd, but he thought on 8 days' notice, for whatever reason, it was not a good idea for him. And obviously John listened and turned down the fight. Can you put yourself in their shoes and understand why this was a bad decision, in their opinion?
Here's the thing, Ariel. As far as I'm concerned, it almost doesn't matter, you know, because most of the fans, they're not going to choose to take the time to think that deeply. To them, the event is canceled. It's his fault. You know, he was the guy at the top. The guy at the top, just like if you're a quarterback in the NFL, you're the one who gets the glory and you're the one who takes the blame. It's the same thing here. You're the guy at the top of the card. So you could have said yes. You could have saved the card. You didn't do it. So now you get the blame, regardless of what your motivation was. And, you know, looking deeper than that, yes, I certainly can. I mean, knowing what I know about John Jones, I know that he is a guy that studies relentlessly on his opponent. He's probably, you know, I'm sure he spent lots and lots of time watching Dan Henderson fights, learning his tendencies, learning how to, you know, how to get him into situations where he felt the fight would be advantageous for him. And taking a fight on, you know, 8-9 days notice, a lot of those advantages that he would get from scouting go out the window because there's not enough time to do that and to train the proper way to defend some of the things that Chael wants to do and put yourself in the right positions. Both the way that John trains and the way that Greg Jackson teaches, I mean, that takes that time and the relationship, and they're not able to do that. So I can kind of put myself in his mind and understand that, but most of the fans aren't going to do that. You know, they don't care about that. They want to see a fight. They want to see a fist fight, and they're not going to get to see one, and that's all that matters to them. And you know what? That's the sport we're in, so that's fair. That's a fair thing for the fans. I don't think that they're out of line with their anger about this, because we don't have to ask them to look into every nook and cranny of a fighter's mind. That's our job as media, yes, but right, it's not the fans' job. The fans' job is to invest yourself in the action.
It's funny, when I first heard about this, I thought, well, maybe he wants to fight him in 2-3 months. You can build it up and really get a big pay-per-view buy rate. I actually think that Chael Sonnen versus John Jones would do better on pay-per-view because Chael has actually been promoting this the last 2 weeks. And that's really, right. I mean, you know, yes, there's been more time to think about Dan Henderson versus John Jones, but you know, it's, in this day and age of UFC cards, really 2-3 weeks is a lot of time to promote a show. Chael Sonnen, very popular. I think people would have gone behind this sort of Rocky-like story of him fighting on 8 days' notice. John Jones is John Jones. So from a pay-per-view buy rate standpoint, it would have been interesting to see how that would have done as opposed to Dan Henderson. I mentioned all the cards, the stack cards, you know, the calendar, I should say. Dana White talked about this, how This is no sort of indictment on the new UFC calendar and all the shows and whatnot. But in the past, I mean, we've never had it happen this close to an event. But we have had, you know, Brock Lesnar pull out of a card, and then you have Forrest Griffin and Tito Ortiz get bumped up. We've had other injuries 3-4 weeks before, and then the co-main event gets bumped up. The co-main event here was Jay Haran versus Jake Ellenberger. Obviously not a pay-per-view main event. Do you think that this will make the UFC take a step back and say, these cards are just a little too thin right now, we need to be ready for these situations, or is this just the UFC in 2012 and beyond, and we have to deal with it?
I think this is kind of the way it is. I mean, their calendar seems to be set going forward. They have it pretty well mapped out for 2013 already. And I don't think there's like a lot of room for them to really make alterations to lessening the calendar, so to speak. I think one thing we've seen them do quite a bit of, particularly in the last year, is where there's big fights like this. For example, John Jones fighting for defending his belt. They would put another 205-pound title matchup of contenders underneath it. So if John Jones dropped out due to injury or Dan Henderson dropped out due to injury, they can just bump somebody ahead. In this event, that they didn't do that, and unfortunately, it's going to burn them. But we've seen them do that at other times, you know, when George St. Pierre fought and things like that, where it came into play. So I think that's something they'll try and do more of as a way to try and ensure that they keep a worthy pay-per-view main event. But listen, I mean, this is a fight business. Guys are going to get hurt. I wouldn't be surprised if we see more of this down the line. I know, obviously, this is complete last ditch to cancel an event. I mean, you could hear how angry and gutted Dana White was to have to announce that this event's not going to happen. I mean, it's cost them a lot of money. It takes a lot of manpower, a lot of resources to put on an event, to market it, promote it, to secure venues. I mean, it's a lot of work. And to have that all go for nothing, it's the last possible thing they want to do. So they're going to continue to like try and pull guys into fights in short notice if they need to keep things alive. Unfortunately, the way the division was right now, there really wasn't anyone available that could make a compelling main event, or, you know, unfortunately, no one they could get to John to agree to fight.
It's a crazy year. It has been a crazy year for the UFC with the Fox deal and all these cards, and of course, all these injuries. Don't forget, Josh Koscheck was supposed to fight Jake Ellenberger in the co-main event. That's why Jay Haran is on the card, because Josh Koscheck got injured. It's just been one injury after the next. I want to get two predictions from you. Who would have won had Chael Sonnen fought John Jones on September 1st? And who do you think wins between John Jones and Lyoto Machida?
I would say John Jones wins both of those fights. You know, I think Chael's style is a good style for John to fight, because he's a guy that kind of throws a couple punches just to try and get inside and take you down. Obviously, he's good in the clinch. John is great in the clinch. John knows how to use his elbows very well there. He knows how to use leverage. He's very good with his Greco. He's able to throw guys to the ground. And obviously, if he throws you to the ground, he's murder from that top position with his elbows and with submission. So I think it would have been a very tough fight for Chael. I give him a lot of credit for stepping up and volunteering to take the fight, because it is a very tough matchup for him. John's also bigger than him. You know, he's bigger than him physically. Probably a little bit stronger than him too, maybe even. So I think it really worked in his favor to take the fight, not just from a marketing standpoint and pay-per-view buys, but I think it would have been a very winnable fight for him. Same thing with Machida. Obviously, you know, he has some familiarity with him and vice versa. The one thing for him that works great is he got the first round of fighting Machida out of the way. I think that's the hardest thing for all the fighters, to kind of get in there with his unique style and try and figure that out. Sometimes you don't make it through that first round, or sometimes Machida does, you know, he's able to do just enough different things each round, or even maybe even each minute, to confuse you and to keep you away from what you want to do. John's able to experience that already. So that sort of built-in advantage that Machida has is gone. And so, you know, I expect him to win again, I think. And I think it'll be another finish as well.
And if you work for John Jones, what do you say to him? How does he deal with this?
am I as PR guy in this situation?
Sure, you're a manager, PR guy. How do you clean up this mess?
Well, like I said before, I mean, I would have him address it pretty quickly. I mean, like now, you know, I would have him whatever, do an interview or a conference call and just explain his motivation and say why it is. I mean, maybe there's something to this that we don't know. You know, one thing he did say last week or recently, I can't remember which interview it was on, but that he thought some of the stuff that Chael said in the build-up to the Anderson Silva fight was racist. You know, maybe it has to do with that. Maybe he just doesn't feel like he wants to, that he deserves the fight because of the way he's promoted things in the past. He doesn't want to be part of that sort of build-up, which would be, you know, a more valid sort of argument, I would say, even though there's no morality clause in UFC contracts. And you know, but I think people maybe would put a little bit more they would understand that a little bit more, you know, if it was coming from a place like that. But I think that would be the biggest thing, is for him to get his story out quickly and let people know what his reasoning is. And then, you know, even if they disagree with it, at least we get it out of the way. As of now, we just have to wonder, you know, because for me, I don't know about you, Ariel, but I've felt for a long time like a lot of this negativity that goes towards John Jones, this negative energy, this hate, I guess, even in some instances, was a little overdone. You know, he's not a bad guy. I don't even think he's a bad guy for saying, no, I'm not going to fight Chael Sonnen. I mean, this doesn't make him a bad person. You know, everybody has to make their own decisions and live their own lives and be the captain of their own ship. But I can't understand why people would be mad in this particular instance. In other instances, you know, when people say, well, he's cocky, he's not genuine. Well, all that stuff is kind of just how you perceive him. You know, we've talked to him enough to have a different kind of more personal relationship. Not that we're friends or anything, but to kind of see where he's coming from and to see that he's a little more genuine than people think he is. But, you know, that's kind of our view from the inside. When they see a decision like this, you know, there's only so many ways you can look at it, and I think that's sort of the difference.
Well, I feel like I've defended John Jones on many occasions where I think he needed to be defended because I thought people were sort of unrightfully so criticizing him. I thought they were not being fair when they criticized him last week about the Machida situation. Obviously, they're going to criticize him because of this. I think where he's going to get a lot of criticism here is from fellow fighters, from fans who bought tickets, hotel rooms, flights, family members who are coming to see their loved ones fight on the undercard, all that stuff. It's going to be a hard thing to clean up. And if you think about the last few months for John Jones, from the DUI arrest, the DWI arrest, I should say, in New York State, it's called a DWI, Nike, to this. It hasn't been a great last few months for John Jones, but the great thing about this sport is he goes out, he annihilates Lyoto Machida on September 22nd. It's almost like all is forgotten. For now, John Jones isn't talking. He says he will not be doing any interviews, at least for now. We'll wait and see what he has to say. Mike, great job. Appreciate it. Good first effort on the MMA After Hour. It has been a crazy, crazy day in the world of mixed martial arts. And keep a locked at MMAfighting.com for all the coverage surrounding the cancellation of UFC 151, the new UFC 151, 152, whatever they're calling it, and everything going on between John Jones and Chael Sonnen.